Begin the current daf, Masechet Baba Basra, daf Kuf Samach Vav. Begin on the second line down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the brice of the previous daf, which was continuing on the theme of our Mishnah of the previous daf, discussing ambiguous terms in a document when it specifies the monies, if it doesn't say the amount of the monies, or when there's contradictory terms, how do we define it? So in the brice it discussed, it said Zahav Bedinar. Oh, so although that we explained when it says dinri zahav or zahav bedinarin, when it's talking about golden dinners, so it says straight out what it is. So we said that the plural means a minimum of two. But then the Braisa said, when it says zahav bedinarin, gold in dinarin, so then says the Braisa, ein paches mibishnei dinarin kesev zahav. So then, if that's what it says in the loan document, so then, since it doesn't specify how much, there's not going to be less than two, because it says in the plural, but two what? Two silver dinars worth of gold. That's what it says in the Braisa. Now that's the Gemara. Why? Why are you saying that? Ve'ema dehava pricha, say it's referring to gold pieces, betray dinari dehava kama, in the value of two golden dinar. In other words, why don't you say that they're both referring to gold? It's just that, so what's bidinar? If you say Zahav dinar and dinar is zahav. So we understand why the Braisa said that's too cold in dinar. But when it says bid in, it sounds like it's referring to two different things. So therefore one would assume that's what the Braisa meant when it said that, oh, gold in dinar, so gold is not the same as dinar. Oh, so dinar refers to silver and zahav is gold. So you give two dinar of silver of value in gold. But on that asks the Gemara, why? Why did you say they're both referring to gold? It's just that one's referring to a currency or coin, and the other one's talking about pieces of gold. And what the document is saying is that golden pieces in the value of two golden coins, Reuven borrowed from Shimon. So why are we interpreting that when it says Zahav bidinarin, that we're referring to how much gold? Two silver dinarin worth of gold. Maybe it's two golden dinarins worth of gold. So Abai, he answers, he says, you're right, it could mean that, but Yad Balashtar al Tachtaina, the one who's holding the document has the lower hand, because he's trying to be Maitzim Echaveh, the lender is trying to collect from the borrower, and we don't know how much he borrowed, and since it's an ambiguous term of Bidinarin, and it doesn't say which one, so we could suspect that it's silver, not gold, and that's why he's only able to collect two silver dinarins worth of gold, and not that of golden coins. Now, however, on that, the Gemara asks, as the Girsa of the Rashbam is Ihachi, if that's the case, well then Reishanami. Then the Reisha, which, as Rashbam explains, Reisha refers to both the Reisha of this Brice and actually the text of the previous Brice we had brought on the previous stuff. In other words, both the first Brice that we had quoted, which was, this Brice was talking about gold. The previous Brice was talking about silver. So there, a parallel type of a Brice is said, when it says in the document, Kesev bedinarin, silver in dinarin, then said the Braisa, "Ein paches min b'shnei dinarim didahav kesef." Then you're not going to give less than the value of two golden dinarin in silver. I mean, he's going to be giving him silver, but how much silver? How much did he borrow? Not less than a value of two golden dinarin. So then, ask the Gemara, you should say there also Yad Balashtar Tachtaina, and we should explain over there that no, there is talking about pieces of silver in the value of two silver dinarin. That's question number one, and including this question is also this Brice itself, which we learned when it says Dahav Dinarin or Dinarin Dahav. So then the Brice said, okay, it's saying golden Dinarin or Dinarin gold. Then said the Brice, Ein Paches Mishnei Dinarin Zav. Then you're not going to give less than two golden Dinarin. But why? Why don't you say that he's not going to have to give less than two silver Dinarin's worth of gold? If you're saying that the concept is because Yad Balashtar Tachtayna, anytime you can't prove it, he gets the lower interpretation, so then even in the other terms, whether it be Kesef in that price, Bidinarin, or when it's talking about Dinrei Zav or Dinarin Zahav, either one should also be then interpreted as silver Dinarin in gold. So why over here are we saying that it's because Yad Balashtar Tachtayna, and then we don't say that? So Ravashi, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Reisha the Kasav Dinari. In the Reisha, meaning both of this Braisa and of the previous Braisa, the term used was Dinari, without an endonym, without a nun sofit, which that sounds like Dinri Zahav, as the Meiri explains, because Dinri sounds like it has a next word which would connote the more expensive one of gold. So Therefore, the interpretation in the previous brisa, when you said kesef bidinari, or in this brisa when we said dinari bizahav or zahav bidinari, it was referring to gold. Seifa, but this that we're quoting, that we started off this amud with, was zahav bidinarin, was the kesef dinarin, which was said unspecified in the plural. That sounds like that of the common one, which is the silver dinarin. And that is why it has the different halacha. So zahav bidinarin is going to be silver dinarin. In the previous price, which said kesef bidinari, was talking about dinari zahav. That's the reason for that discrepancy. Now that the Gemara says, "Umanotem deshani bein dinari ledinarin." How do we know that there is that this differentiation that when you say dinarin, it means of silver, and when you say dinari, it means of gold? So the Gemara, the time like we learned, which actually a mission at the end of the first parak in Masechtas Krisis, that we see from the terminology that dinarin refers to silver dinarin and dinari refers to golden. The Mishnah says the isha shahayu la safik chamish leid. So a woman that had a doubtful obligation because of five births. In other words, there were five times that she miscarried, and the halacha is that a woman has to bring a carbon for yeledes as a woman gave birth only if it was a viable child. But it's not clear if it was a child, if it was a true fetus, or it's just ear, meaning if it was just a sac with no embryo inside. Or let's say suffik chamesh zivos. So let's say she had a doubtful stream of blood in the halacha context of ziva, where what happened is that she got her whole calendar got mixed up, and she ended up having a period, a re'iyah, in five different months for 3 days straight, which could qualify as a ziva, but it has to be depending on the time of the month and the time of the calculation, where every month there's a period of yimei nida, which is for 7 days, and then after those 7 days is when you have the 11 days between the periods of the nida, which they're the Yimei Ziva. If she would have seen the 3 days in Yimei Ziva, then she would be liable for a carbon. But if it was during the Yimei Nida, if you have a stream for 3 days straight, then that does not have the halakhic status of a Ziva. So since her calendar got mixed up, she doesn't know. She saw 3 days straight in five different months, but she wasn't sure if it was during the Yimei Nida or Yimei Ziva. So regarding these two cases, says the Mishnah, Meviya Carbon Echad. So she brings one carbon, which purifies her from her tumah, which is a bird for a carbon oila and a bird for a carbon chattas, but the carbon is of chattas is not consumed, because when you have a chattas a'ayv, a bird carbon chattas, when it's brought in a doubtful situation, like in this case, where we don't know if there's even one obligation of a carbon for yeledis or for ziva, so it's brought, but it's not consumed, as the Gemara learns out, Masechtas Nazir, and Nefchav Tesim and Aleph. Now, but once she brings one carbon, then automatically she's tahar, v'ichilis b'zvachim, and she could eat from carbonis, and the ina shara le'achayva, and the other four doubtful obligations are not obligatory for us to bring them. And the reason for that is because it was actually difficult in the first place for us to even allow her to bring one chatas oif out of doubt, which is we need to it because that has to purify her because she might be doubtfully tame and then she can't do any taharas forever. Now, so we allow one, but more than that, we don't, because even that one karma chatas is going to be buried, and which is not appropriate because it's supposed to be consumed by the kain. No, so therefore, since she becomes tara by at least one bringing one carbon, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Krisis, so then she would be comparable to a woman that became tamei, where even if she became tamei five times and obligated to immerse herself in the mikvah five times, but once she immerses herself one time, she's already tar. So here also, we're not going to bring any other karbonis chattas out of doubt, because they're going to then go ahead straight and be buried, and that's not appropriate because the karbon chattas is supposed to be consumed. We just can't eat it because it might have been done not through appropriate shechita, because that's not how chattas aiv is brought, and it might not be a chattas aiv, so therefore we have to bury it. So because of that, she brings one carbon and not the other four. But let's say hayulel chamish leidus vadois. Let's say she had five births. She just didn't bring her karbonis yet. Or chamish zivus vadois. She had become a ziva five definite times, and she just didn't bring her karbonis yet for that. So the halacha is meviya karbon echad. So first she brings one of the karbonis. Vaychelis bezvachim, that already purifies her from the ziva or from the tumas yeledis, and she could eat from karbonis. Vashara la'achayva. Now the remaining four are obligatory for her, which, as Rashbam points out, it would have to be that the other births were after a certain period of time, because if she gave birth within that period of time, then one karbon actually would exempt all of them. But she had given birth, and a year later gave birth again, or whatever it is. So then, there was definite obligations. So one should bring one carbon that purifies, but the other ones are obligatory. Now, the reason why we're bringing this Mishnah is actually for the next part. So it says that Ma'isava Amdu Kinim. So what happened was that the pairs of birds, which is what a kinim refers to, which is when you bring a Chatas Na'ila, there's a pair of birds. So the price of birds, B'Yerushalayim, were Bidinre. They went up because, as we see from these halachas, that there's certain obligations. A woman, every time she gives birth, and every time she has ziva, she's got to bring these karbanas. So the price of birds went up to be dinri. That's why the Girsa takes out the word zahav, because we're actually coming to prove that the word dinri itself refers to golden dinar. So Amr Bishim Gamliel, he said, "Amo'in hazeh." He was swearing by the Beis HaMikdash. One takes a holy item and swears by it. He says, "By this abode, by the Beis HaMikdash, I swear, im olin halayit, if I'm going to sleep tonight, at shiyu bidinarin, until it's going to be, the price is going to plummet and go down to the price of silver dinarin. In other words, it's going to be cheaper. How so? How's he going to do this? Nichnis labezdim alimit. He went into the courts and he taught the following halacha. Even if a woman has five definite births that she had, or five definite flows of ziva, she brings one carbon, says she doesn't have to bring the other four obligations at all. Now the reason for Reb Shimon's opinion is like Reb Akiva, as the Gemara there brings, which is, as is told over there in the first parak, where regarding one, she could bring and then she'll be exempt for the rest of them. But what he took away the whole supply and demand, because the price went up because a woman would have to bring five. Now he's saying, you could have five obligations, you bring one, even if it was different obligations, and you're exempt. So then the price of the kinan, which are these two birds or these two turtle doves, that are called a cane, they went and they went down berivasayim. And now they were just costing a quarter of a dinar. So you could get two birds for the cost of a quarter of a dinar, which are 48 prutas, which, because you have 192 prutas in one dinar, as the Gemara says, the first berakim is that's kedushin. And therefore, it went down. But one thing we see from this incident is that when they were saying how expensive it was, they were saying it was bidinari, he says, I promise it's going to go down to bidinarin. What do we see is a difference in terminology. In the vernacular, dinari means dinri zahav, and dinari means dinri kesev, and that explains in the context of the brises why when he says zahav bedinarin, it means that he's, dinarin means to dinri kesev, so he has to bring two silver dinarins worth of value of gold, that's how much. In the contrast to the other cases, since it said dinri, it referred to dinri zahav. Now, the Gemara continues to explain the Mishnah, which said, kasa melamala v'chulu. So it said that if, let's say, on the top of the document it said one way, let's say $100, and the bottom of the document said $200, you go based on what it says at the end. That's the primary. Now, v'chulu etc., which turn upon the brayis, which elaborates on the later halacha of the Mishnah had said, and the brayis continues on this, and says, yilamed hatachtim in the elyon. Let's say there's a discrepancy. Now, so you're going to go based on what's at the end. But let's say there's a word that's erased. There's something that's not clear on the bottom. So you could learn out what it says on the bottom from the top. Because the Mishnah said, if you always go based on the bottom, why do you write the top at all? So it says, because if something, let's say, gets smudged or something, you can't read the bottom. So then you'll clarify it based on what it says there on the top. And that says, the Braisa, that's only Ba'is Achas. That's only if it's missing from the bottom word, one letter. Avalai B'shteyaisis, but not by two letters. Like a Kagain, like the Braisa explains. For example, Chana Mechanani Ba'anema Anoni. If it's missing one letter, and right, instead of writing Chanani, it says Chanan, or instead of Anani, it says Anan, then it's going to work. But not if it's missing two letters, like Rashbam explains. For example, if it says Chan instead of Chanani, or An instead of Anani, where it's missing two letters, then it's not going to work. Then you cannot clarify. Then you're going to give based on what it says in the bottom and not what it says on the top. Now ask the Gemara. Why is it if it's missing two letters, that's the discrepancy between the bottom and the top, then you won't learn the bottom from the top, and you'll go based on the bottom. Dilma Misrami Shem Ben Arba Oisis, because maybe it's going to be a four-letter name. Bahavale Palga Dishma, if it's missing two letters, it's going to be half the name. Half the name, it doesn't make sense that the scribe would have made such a huge error in missing half the name. But if that's the case, that's why you won't learn out two letters if it's missing from the bottom from the top. So Ihachi, if that's the case, Oisachas Nami, then even one letter two, Dilma Misrami Shem Ben Shtei Oisis. Maybe it's a two-letter name, V'havale palga d'shma, like done. And maybe if it's going to be missing one of the letters, you're going to be learning it out from the top, and that's going to be half the name. That also doesn't make sense, half the name. So why by two letters, because it might be half, is different than one letter, which also might be half. Elarad explains the Gemara, no, shtei oisis hamitam, and the reason why we can't learn that up, it's two letters from the top, is dilma misrami shem bin shalash oisis, because it might be a three-letter name. It's missing two letters, then you're going to be learning out the majority of the name from the top. That much doesn't make sense that we should learn out the bottom from the top. Because you can't say that if you're missing two letters and then the majority, you're going to have to learn that from the top. So to the contrary, then you're going to give the money to the one who the name is as it is on the bottom. In contrast, when it's one letter, it could only be half. It can't be the majority, obviously. So therefore, in that case, that's why we will learn the bottom from the top. But the majority, that's already too far, and that's why two is not going to work. Continuing on this theme of the halacha, the Mishnah, Amar Papa says, Pshitali says, obvious to me, that if it says the word safal milmala, samach feilamet, which that refers to a basket, as we find the pasuk in Shaftim. So he says that this guy deposited a basket by that person, and they wrote up a document. Now, but v'kafal milmala, instead of a samach, it says a kuf, which is a whole different word, it's saying that he deposited a talis. The reason why it's called kafal is because it means to fold, and the talis is something that you would fold. No. So Rashbam points out, this halacha of this part of Rapapa's teaching would be the same thing if it wasn't a talis with any other garment or any other keli. It's only picking this case because of the next case that he wants to ask a question regarding. But regarding this case, says Rapapa, as the halacha of our Mishnah tells us, everything goes based on the second way. The primary is the bottom one. So it's going to be recording not as a basket, but as a talis. But by Rapapa, let's say it's the other way around. Let's say kafal milmala, it says the talis on the top part of the document. V'safal milmala, but it says the basket on the bottom, meaning it switches from a kuf to a samach on the bottom. My, what would be halach in that case? Why here is it different? Because here, michashin lezvuv, would we be concerned for a fly? Because the ink, that if a fly would land on the leg of the kuf, it could smudge it and turn it and make it the kuf into a samach. And therefore the question is, would we say over here, that you would learn, just like we say when there's a word missing or part of it missing, you learn at the bottom from the top, we would say that no, it's not a safal, it's a kaf, like we see in the top, it must have been a fly hit it. Or maybe we say that no, the primary is the bottom. If the letter's not missing, we're not going to say to learn from the top. And therefore we're going to say that it was a basket, not a talis. So the Gemara Tegu let it stand, which Rashbam explains Allah is going to be a mitzvah of Elavariah. The one who has the document, who wants to remove it from the one that he's collecting from, it's incumbent upon him to bring the proof. Because since it's a doubt to the court, we don't know what it is, we cannot go take it away from the one that's muchzik on it to say what it was. The one who wants to take it away has to prove, because as Rashbam explains, you can't compare this to the general halacha of Mamun Mutl B'Safik, when there's a doubt regarding the money, which then we always say, not a mitzvah of Elavariah, but rather that they have to split it. Because in that halacha, it's when the primary thing that happened, we don't know what happened. For example, as the Gemara says, and that's the Gimel regarding Shershon Ogechas Aparo Beninsa Ube Betzida. So we don't know, did the ox gore it when it was pregnant, or did it miscarry first? Or let's say, on Daf Kufnin Chesem Abeiz, which we had with Nofal Abayis Alav Al Imoy, when the house collapsed, we just don't know who died first. So therefore, that's where the Bezman Paskins said you're going to do Yachleiku. But anywhere where they know what happened, it's just that they don't know what the halacha is, like in this case where it's Tekui, since the judges don't know what to Paskin the Din, so then they're silent, and then whoever's in possession is the Muchzik, and he gets to hold on to it until the other person, the Mutzmer Rabeira, can bring a proof to prove that way that it is, and therefore, he's going to only be able to get the lesser one of the two, and the Muchzik is going to be Machzik. Now the Gemara brings another halacha regarding this topic. Ahuda have a kasev bay, I mean regarding the ambiguity, as we said in the document. Ahuda have a kasev bay shis ma'a vizuzi. In the document that says, whether a loan or a deposit, whatever it is, that this guy owes this person 600 and a zuz. Shalcha rav shiravya kameh d'abaya. Now, how do we define this? It doesn't say 600 what? Shis ma'a istiri vizuzu? Is it referring to 600 sloyim and a zuz? Where istri is a seller, which is the amount each seller is worth 4 zuz. Or maybe shismeh priti bezuz. Maybe it's referring to 600 prutis, which is very low, the lowest denomination of a coin. And a zuz, we don't know 600 what. So Malay, so he said to him, well, dal priti. You for sure can't consider that an option that it was talking about 600 prutis. The like sivu bishtar, because the person wouldn't write that in the document. The reason for that is because da suchi miskin lehu. He would go ahead, from the term of sikum, he would go ahead and gather it together and tally it up into a higher denomination of dinarin, as we continue on top of Kav Samach Zayin Amud Alav, umashiv lehu zuzi. He would go ahead and put it into the values of zuzim, because every 192 prutos is one dinar. So instead of writing such a hard, large number of prutas, 600 prutas, he would cut it down, and for every 199 prutas, just break that down into a dinar. Why would he record such a high number of pennies when you could write in quarters or dollars? So therefore, that's not an option to say there was toma prutas. My Ahmed, what are you going to say? Shismo istur bezuzi, that was the other option? That maybe it's toma 600 sloim in a zuz? And that he says, no. Yad balashtar al-takhtayna, the one who's holding the document, has the lower hand. Why should we say it's such a high thing, like it's talking about $605 bills? No, we would say that maybe it's $600 bills. And therefore, it's going to be 601 zuzim, because 601 zuz is going to be 600 zuzim and one zuz, which is for a total of 601, because istri, which is slime, each one of those slime is 4 dinarim. We have no reason to assume that it was such a high thing, prutis, not because that's a large number, which you wouldn't write for something like so small. But regarding if it's slime, which are istri, that we're not going to say such a high number, because the one who's trying to collect, it's incumbent upon him to bring proof. Rather, it's going to be referring to zuzim for a total of 601 zuzim. Whereas, although Taisus addresses the question that says, well, then why don't you say the same svar by zuzim? Because that 600, why write such a large number even for zuzim? Because that could fit into the istori, and you can make even a lower number. And that says Taisus, no, because zuzim are common, like dollar bills, although you could fit into $5 bills, but they're normal to write in the document, although that there's a larger denomination that you could fit into smaller numbers, still that since that's a common thing, it makes sense to write such a high number of zuzim, and therefore Yad Balashtar Tachtani would tell us that it's going to be zuzim and not sloim.